Verses 14 to 18 were supposed to be one message, but they're going to be two. So today is sort of that part B of that particular section. It was just so good that I just couldn't rush through it. I said, I'm going to slow down and we're going to take our time with this. And so we're going to do that today. And so we're going to be looking at verses 14 to 16 and the rest of that to 18. Again, thanks for being in the service today here on this Thanksgiving Sunday. And to those who will be listening a little bit later online, we want to welcome them as well. Wish them happy Thanksgiving. We are in this series of messages called Unchained. And the Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the Christ followers in the city of Philippi, he was writing the book while he himself was in chains. He was in prison, but he was writing to the believers at Philippi, and he was saying, listen, even though I am in physical chains, there are some chains that need to drop off of your life as well. And of course, we know in our culture today that people are in chains with all kinds of addictions, all in chains with all kinds of bad attitudes, and in chains with bad relationships that they just don't know how to make them better. And so the Apostle Paul was writing to the folks at Philippi saying, listen, I may be in physical chains, but there's some chains that need to drop off in your life as well. And in our culture today, we are realizing that there are some things, especially for those of us who present ourselves as Christ followers, we need to realize that somewhere along the line, as a church here in North America, we have picked up some chains that are keeping us from being all that God intended His church to be. And so as we walk through this together, my desire or the passion of my heart is not just simply give you a real good message and send you home and say, well, you know, I'll give the pastor a 7 out of 10 on that one, or maybe an 8 out of 10. That's not my desire at all. My desire is, instead of growing cynical about the church, to once again fall in love with the church. And because the church is Christ, is the bride. And we need to love the bride. I know I love my bride. And after 30 years, I still love her even more than I did before. And so we need to once again fall in love with the bride. We need to fall in love with the church. And in the church, you and I are the church. It's not about bricks or wood or anything else. You and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so I want you and I want myself to be the very best that we can be as we live our lives. And to do that, we have to get rid of some things in our lives that keep us from being what God wants us to be. And we have to do that. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. We need to do that. And so last week, as we began to look in this section on Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 to 18, last week I talked to you about the difference between working for your salvation. And we, all the other religions of the world, they say you need to work for your salvation. And but we know that salvation for us as believers, taught by the scripture, that you cannot earn your salvation. It is a gift of God. And but even though it is a gift of God given to us, we still need to work out some things in our lives. And so in Philippians, it talks to us there within that passage. It says that we need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And so last week we talked about that. I'm not going to give you a recap of that, but that's just what we got into last weekend and how we need to be working out our salvation. And so today I want to jump in at verse 14 and continue on from there. Is everybody awake? Okay, I'm just checking in. I'm going to, from now on, I've decided I'm going to watch you. All right, I'm going to watch you. Let's jump in at verse 14. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Boy, let's just rest there for a little while. Yeah, let that sink in. Do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine. I want you to shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. So the Apostle Paul, as he was writing here, he talked to them about working out their salvation with fear and trembling. And so the goal of a worked out salvation is a simple one. Why do you need to, what's the goal? If I work on my salvation, if I really begin to follow the principles and the precepts of Scripture, and I really sort of hunger after God and I go for it, what is ultimately, why do I do that? So what is the goal of working out my salvation? And of course, that goal is a very simple one. Right now we live, and we always have, and always will to the end of time, in a crooked and depraved, dark and decadent world. But the Bible says, in the midst of all this darkness, that you and I, as followers of Jesus, we need to shine like stars. And sometimes I wonder if the shine has come off of our star a little bit. I wonder if sometimes we need to, once again, get out a cloth and some polish, and we need to shine that star up again. Because if we're ever going to make a difference in this world, it will happen because you and I have worked out our salvation, and the reason we worked on our salvation is we want to be an incredible ambassador to this world that is dark and decadent. We want to shine like a star in the midst of the darkness. And so as we hold out the word, or the word of life, as we hold out the word of God, we can hold it out, we can tell everybody about the book, but nothing really authenticates the power of God's word like a person or the messenger who shines like a star and who really has worked out their salvation and really has gotten rid of the chains that have kept them from living a Christ-like life. And so as we think about working out our salvation, we need to do that so that we can shine like a star in this world of darkness. And as we hold out the greatest message this world has ever heard, if we want the world to take it seriously, then we need to take our life, the way we live it, seriously, first of all. And so that's why the Apostle Paul was writing to the Church of Philippi saying, listen, you can change the world. And somewhere along the line, even for us here in Stratford, we stop believing that we can make a difference. We stop believing in changing the world. Sometimes we wonder if we can even change ourselves. We can't, but God can. We can't, but God can. And so as we shine like stars, and as we hold out the word that it talks about there within that passage, as we hold out the truth, the message, and as we bring life to the dead of this world, we can do that with profound, profound influence if we shine like a star in the universe. And so if you're a follower of Christ, the Apostle Paul is reminding us today that this is what you need to be working your salvation out for, so that you can be that light in the world. You and I both need to reach out to a lost and dying world, and with a message that will transform them, not only now, but for all eternity. But if we're ever going to have that influence we need to have, we need to shine like a star, working on our salvation. The Bible tells us that our mission is clear. Matter of fact, Jesus spelled it out very clear, and he even knew himself what his mission was. And that mission became known as the Great Commission from Matthew 28. And go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Jesus was very simple about what our mission is. Jesus knew it himself, and we need to know that very clearly ourselves today, to go into all the world with the message of Christ. But with that great commission also comes an incredible opportunity to transform and change our culture. You can call it a cultural commission if you want. So with that great commission of going into all the world and living like Jesus and shining like stars, as we hold out the word of life, we can change our world. We can change our culture. And somewhere along the line, folks, we have stopped believing as a church that we can change this world. Matter of fact, I can remember on Sunday, the first Sunday I told you we're going to reach 1/10 of this city for Jesus Christ. I saw your faces. And even in my own heart, I'm going, oh boy, what did I just say out loud? Do we really believe that we can have that kind of influence? And my answer to you, without hesitation, is yes. But it will only happen as we shine like stars, while we're holding out the message of what God can do in your life and in my life. We need to make sure that it's truly evident in our own lives. And so we can change our culture. We can change our world. Matter of fact, history, it's full of things that believers have done. Some stories we don't even know about. And I don't know if you knew that the real people behind the coming down of the Berlin Wall, according to one historian, the real reason the Berlin Wall came down is that there was a band of women who got together and who prayed, and they said they would not stop praying until the wall came down. And that happened, and they got together about a year before the wall came down. Some people say, well, it wasn't their prayers that brought the wall down. Was it not? Do we believe that God is able to influence and change your world, even to the point of bringing down the walls? I believe it can. History is full of people who have been rescued, the children who have been rescued from being trafficked in sex rings, especially in the stories that come out of the Philippines and how children have been rescued from brothels. And it was because of Christians who stepped up and shined like stars in a world that was dark that made a difference. There were believers who had a faith so strong that they believed that they could take in orphans from Africa who were struggling with AIDS and help them. There were believers who really helped orphans to get off the streets and who had no place to live in Argentina. There were sex workers who were freed from their pimps and were rescued from off of the strip where everyone looked for them in the city of Toronto because of believers who believe they can make a difference in a world of darkness. My message this morning is for Spotlight Church is that through our faith, if we hold the hand of Christ and we truly believe in our faith, we can change our world. We can change our culture. It has always happened and will always continue to happen if we have that kind of faith. The kingdom of God is meant to come, but if it's ever going to come, the real question is how will it happen? Well, it will happen when God's people work out their salvation and when they hold out the message of God's word and I believe and shine. In other words, live it yourself, believe it yourself as you hold it out to others. Today, a lot of our churches are dying and struggling because there's people sitting in pews and chairs and in leadership of churches who really don't believe the Bible anymore. It's a real shame. And the kingdom will never come as long as we behave like that. But if we shine, if we have worked out our salvation to the point that we believe in Jesus, we believe in the transformational message of his word, we can change our world. In ancient history, in the ancient world, the influence of Christians was so powerful and so incredible that it stopped, in ancient times, it stopped a whole generation of what we call infanticide, and I think that's all about children that I think about under the age of one were being murdered off because they believed that there was some kind of power to it. Christians stepped in and said, no, that's ridiculous, and rescued the children and changed the culture of their day. It was because of believers that slavery was ended. It was because of believers that women were liberated down through the years, even though sometimes people like to say, well, religious people, those religious people, they're just kind of suppressing and holding everybody back. But it was believers who liberated women in the past. It was believers who created hospitals and orphanages and schools when they originally came together. It wasn't the government that created those. It was the believers who believed they could shine like stars in a world. During the medieval era, Christianity was empowered and kept alive. It impacted the culture of our medieval days because it was believers who learned how to copy manuscripts and preserve the word. It was believers who first created libraries. It was believers who first invented colleges and universities. It was not government. It was not secular society. It was people of faith who gave us some of the greatest institutions we have today. And we need to be reminded of that. We don't need to hang our head. We can change our world. We did it in the past. The question is will we do it again today? And as we think about it, even here in our modern era, Christians were the ones who led the way in the development of science, political studies, economic freedom. It was believers who were at the helm of it all and provided some of the greatest sources of inspiration when it comes to art, literature, and music. So as I study this and I think, Wow, look what all those believers did in the past as they shined like stars in a world full of darkness, a world that was ugly and nasty many times in generations past. So the question remains for us today. What will those who follow Christ do in our day? We can't really do anything, We can have coffee together, but can we change the world? We can. Can we change our city? We can. Can we change our nation? We can. But it's going to take us to once again, as we hold out the word of life that Philippians talks about, that we shine, that we stay connected to it, and we shine and let that salvation that we've worked out to the point where we're willing to lay everything down for it, that we just shine and say to the world, listen, I want to tell you the greatest message, and I'm excited about it in my own life as well. So you don't work out your salvation in order to get spiritually fat. You work out your salvation so you get fit. And you get fit so that you can fight the good fight. And so that whenever God calls on you, whatever he says, wherever he might want to take you, however God moves, that you're ready to say, yes, Lord, here I am. I'm ready to serve. So this morning, I want to encourage you. Work out your salvation, but the reason you work out your salvation is so that you can shine like a star in a world that is dark. Ugly things are happening, but you don't have to be a part of it. But did you notice what the Apostle Paul said next? He said in there, he says, do it without complaining and arguing. I hated that in there. I love sometimes just to kind of say, you know what? That politicians, let me complain about them. Those other people, let me complain about them. Oh, that other preacher, let me complain about them. But you know what? The Lord says, what in everything you do, don't do it with complaining and arguing. But it's so easy to complain and argue. We become good at it. The Greek word that he uses here that we translate as complaining is an extremely rare word that's used in Scripture. It only appears three other places in the New Testament. Its biggest use was in the Old Testament, and this was the word that was used for the complaining that was done by the Israelites against Moses during their 40 years in the desert. Complaining back then that eventually kept them from reaching the promised land. And today I'm convinced that sometimes we get caught up in complaining. We get caught up and say, well, you know, boy, you know, I'm complaining about the music, complaining about the parking, I'm complaining about this. And as we complain about those things, we just stop ourselves from being that shining star that we need to be in this world. And the Apostle Paul was saying to the church of Philippi, he said, listen, if you're going to be like that shining star, you can't be caught up in complaining and grumbling. You can't be putting down everything you come across. If you live that way, you're not going to be the influence that you need to be within your city. So Paul gives us the admonition to not engage in that kind of behavior. Put away complaining and arguing. He says, work out your salvation for the purpose of coming together collectively as a church, coming together with power and influence. Use your resources, use your gifts, use your talents, use your passions, use every thing you have, throw the kitchen sink at it, but do everything you need to do so that you can shine like stars and change the world around you. We live in a time where there's great conflict, always has been, and there probably will be until the end of time. It's important for us as a church to not get caught up in petty complaining and arguing. It's so easy to do that. Our human nature wants to go there very quick. But it's important that we realize that there's a war that is raging. There's a battle where heaven and hell weigh in the balance. Who cares what the color of the carpet is? Who cares where you have to park? Who cares whether you think the music's too loud or too soft? Sometimes these petty differences strip us of our passion, our energy, our focus, so that we can do the mission that God's called us to do. The Apostle Paul says the day is dark, the time is short, the need is great. To do anything, you need to give yourself 100% to the mission that Christ gave us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. As I sort of come down to the end of this message this morning, the Apostle Paul was really all about saying, you know what, give everything you have to really being the Christ follower you need to be. Let the chains come off. And in verse 17 and 18, he says this, but even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Some of you might be familiar with John Wesley. John Wesley is sort of the one we point back to for the roots of the Wesleyan Church. John Wesley, he was a star that shined brightly in his day, in a day when shipload after shipload of slaves were being brought in from Africa and sent around the world and traded in the streets. John Wesley lived in a very ugly time, but in his time, he shined like a star. He was one of the reformers of the Anglican Church, and of course, out of his ministry and out of his life came what we call the Methodist Church or the Methodist movement. And it's interesting, when I looked at John Wesley's life, I came across something from his life that he simply himself called a covenant prayer to God. This prayer was never meant to be made public. It was something that he prayed between himself and the Lord all the time. But when he passed away, it was found in his materials or in his stuff that was left behind. And it was a private prayer that went like this. And here are the words. And he would pray this apparently on a regular basis, daily basis. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing or put me to suffering. Let me be employed by you or laid aside by you, exalted for you or brought low by you. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours, so be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. John Wesley was the power of one life that had fully worked out his salvation, and he was determined to shine like a star in the midst of darkness. What kind of determination do we have today as we profess to be followers of Jesus? Wesley was someone who lived it. He was someone who also dreamed about it, that one day others would also have that same passion and same devotion, and in fact would live it out. As a matter of fact, in another one of his writings, he wrote these words, and I close my message with it this morning. He said, give me 100 men who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, and they alone will shake the gates of hell and set up the kingdom of heaven upon the earth. I believe he was right. 100 men, 100 women who could change the world if they have that kind of dedication. So the question this morning as we look at this passage in Philippians, and I close with this. The question is whether those 100 men, if you and I will be numbered amongst them. Will we be that person that would accept the challenge? Give me 100 men. Give me 100 women who will fear nothing but sin and did not desire nothing but God, and they alone will shake the gates of hell and set up the kingdom of heaven upon the earth. I believe, Spotlight Church, I believe God has called us and we are going to be that kind of a church within the city, within this region, and I know that he's speaking to us. But if we're ever going to be that kind of a church, we need to be like John Wesley. We need to shine in the midst of all the darkness, all the ugliness, all the things that happen and the newspapers love to glorify it, all the things that we struggle with and challenged by, you know, everything. You know, our world is constantly changing, but it's nothing new at the same time. How about it this morning? In the midst of all the things happening, are you going to be one of those 100 men, 100 women, figuratively, that are so sold out for God that you can make a difference. My prayer is that God would call us to be that person. Let's stand together. Lord, there's lots of chains on our lives that keep us from being completely sold out for you. We're worried about what others will think. We're worried about employment. We're worried about, you know, if I don't tell that white lie, will I lose my job? If I don't sort of laugh at the dirty jokes, and if I don't do all the things, I might lose some friends. Lord, we're constantly choosing whether we're going to be sold out for you or choosing whether we're going to try and see if we can put our foot in both worlds. Lord, this morning, you didn't call us to slip away to a monastery. You didn't call us to hide ourselves in some cave. You called us to shine like stars in a world of darkness. It might be easier to slip away to a cave. It might be easier just to leave the world behind and find some secluded spot. But you didn't call us to do that. You told us to go into all the world. You told us to go into all the ugliness. You told us to meet people on the street who don't believe what we believe and just tell them our story, your story. God, help us today. As a church, even as a beginning, help us not to be embarrassed of who we are. Help us, Lord, to realize that in the past, there were men and women who changed the world, started universities and colleges and ended slavery, and they did things that others thought was absolutely impossible, but they did it fully sold out to you. Lord, may we stand on their shoulders. May we be proud of our heritage. May we be thankful for those who've gone before us. May we be reminded that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses who have shown us the way. We just need to follow it. So Lord, today, speak to us, not at the church down the road, but right here, right now. Speak to us as Spotlight Church. Like the word in our name, help us to be a light. Help us to shine that light in a world of darkness. Help us to put the spotlight on you, our Lord, our Savior. And so God, today, as we leave this place, let us just be determined in our hearts that we're going to live 100% for you, regardless of what the world thinks. Today and right now, I am going to live for Jesus, and I will not be ashamed. God, speak to us, shepherd us, and lead us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.